Matallis. Saha, he. Why? Indeed. Patihi, a husband. Syat, would be. Akutaha bhayaha, who is not fearful of anyone. Swayam, self-sufficient. Samantataha, entirely. Pati, maintains. Bhaya aturam, who is very afraid. Janam, a person. Saha, therefore he. Ekaha, one. Eva, only. Itaratha, otherwise. Mithaha, from one another. Bhayam, fear. Na, not. Eva, indeed. Atmalabhat, then the attainment of you. Adhi, greater. Manyate, is accepted. Param, other thing. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. He alone, who is never afraid, but who, on the contrary, gives complete shelter to all fearful persons, can actually become a husband and protector. Therefore, my Lord, you are the only husband, and no one else can claim this position. If you were not the only husband, you would be afraid of others. Therefore, persons learned in all Vedic literature accept only you, on your lordship, as everyone's master, and they think no one else a better husband and protector than you. Purport. Here the meaning of husband or guardian is clearly explained. People want to become a husband, a guardian, a governor, or a political leader without knowing the actual meaning of such a superior position. There are many people all over the world, indeed, through the universe, who claim for some time that they are husbands, political leaders, or guardians. But in due course of time, the Supreme Lord desires the removal from their post and their careers are immediately finished. Therefore, those who are actually learned and advanced in spiritual life do not accept any leader, husband, or maintainer other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna personally states in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyame. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Krishna is not afraid of anyone. On the contrary, everyone is afraid of Krishna. Therefore, he can actually give protection to a subordinate living entity. Since so-called leaders or dictators are completely under the control of material nature, they can never give complete protection to others, although they claim this ability due to false prestige. Nate viduk svarta gatim vishnum. People do not know that real advancement in life consists of accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as one's master. Indeed, instead of deceiving themselves and others by pretending to be all-powerful, all political leaders, husbands and guardians should spread the Krishna consciousness movement so that everyone can learn how to surrender to Krishna, the Supreme Husband. Krishna. So here Srila Prabhupada, well, he stresses that point in purport, but Bhagavatam actually, the residents of Jambudvip, they are very much stressing the point who the Lord is. He is the Purusha. So he is the only husband. He is the protector. And in reality, nobody else can take the position. Now, temporarily, no, some jivas in the universe, they can claim so, some demigods, some leaders. But it's only because Krishna sanctions it. So we all have to some extent, take some leading position. Whether it's going to be as a leader of a society or leader of a family, some position of such sort will be there. But, so that's not the problem with the position. The problem comes about what's our consciousness. When Indra claims that he is the king of the heavenly planets and he thinks that he can do whatever he wants, Krishna humbles him. He comes and he shows him, well, I give you the position, you can do certain things, but certain things you are not allowed to do. And then he understands, because he is Sura, right? He is a demigod. So he is a devotee, but sometimes he forgets. Now, the jivas, we see that we always, I mean, every jiva has the potential to become a devotee. Because every jiva is pure spirit soul. It's only the covering of the ahankar, which is actually ignorance, which prevents us from seeing that. And only our desire to remove that then can make it to go, and we can again revive the position of being the servant of the Lord, being the prakriti, and as the energy of the Lord, then we can serve him. Now, due to the false ego, then it may be very difficult for us, because who wants to serve? There's a condition. We want to be served. We don't want to serve. And that's the problem. But the acharyas, knowing that, so they gave mercifully, not their blessings, and they wrote the shastras. So Bhagavad Gita was given in the written form, Bhagavatam, and various commentaries. For what? Just because they didn't have anything to do? No. It's all for the conditioned jivas, so they can revive their love, their bhakti for the Lord. So Krishna gave the process of sarana bhakti, which sometimes is misunderstood. But as Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions, the process of sarana bhakti is a foolproof process how to go back to Godhead. The devotee in the beginning follows the process of sarana bhakti, he will naturally come to be attracted, to be affectionate for the Lord, and spontaneously he will start performing the same activities which he was doing because he was obliged to. So such devotee naturally comes to the platform of Raga Anuga Bhakti, and Bhava, Prema will naturally approach the devotee. But the only condition to be able to do that is that we develop desire to follow. That we develop the desire to, I want to follow the process as described by Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So then, now some acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, he so wonderfully explained all the commentaries of all the previous acharyas such a way that even the most conditioned living entities, even those who are so much in tamaguna, in the West, absorbed in sense gratification, not knowing anything about Krishna, but by his mercy, then anybody can come to know. And all we need to do, then just study Srila Prabhupada's instructions, study the books. And then from his instructions, we can easily go back to Godhead in this lifetime, no problem. But what's required is sincerity. We must not take it lightly. If we do that, then we will progress every moment in our life. But the consciousness must be properly established. So here the consciousness is very clear. Right? You do what you are supposed to, following the leaders of the society, the leaders of the families. But whom? Who are the leaders? Not those who are self-proclaimed. You have to know who are the bona fide leaders. And again, it's clearly described by the acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada comments on it. And here in this verse, he explains it. Chanakya Pandit, he explains. And he says very clearly, don't become the husband, teacher, guru, or a king. No, if you cannot uplift your subject in spiritual matters. It's very clear. So now, if one claims to be a devotee, then one should fulfill that. One should be very careful about it. You want to become a husband? Okay, so then you have the responsibility given by the Lord to you that you will protect. And protection means that you will endeavor for those who are under your protection to become Krishna conscious. So be a husband, okay? Have a children. But you are responsible for the children will be Krishna conscious. You have to do it. Otherwise, what's the point of you being husband and calling yourself a devotee? It doesn't work. Then you become responsible for a temple. So what do you do? What's the activity? Making money? No. You have to see that the devotees are progressing in their spiritual lives. So what do you do? Make sure that they are all chanting japa. That their spiritual needs are taken care of. They are being educated. they are being fully surrendered, or at least in the process of being fully surrendered. So, explaining pranipata, pariprashna, sevaya. Sometimes, well, I heard that there was one devotee, temple president, who he was only after collecting, only after money. And when somebody wanted to study, then he wouldn't allow. It's just a waste of time. Instead of you reading, kind of like you should just go out and sell some books. No. It's very sad. But that's not the meaning. So, what we have to do? What did Srila Prabhupada want us to do? Right. We are the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What does it mean? What? We identify, we have some card or... No, what does it mean? That means that we are obliged to follow the instructions of the founder Acharya of the society. And Srila Prabhupada, now he gave the principles of what he wants to achieve from the society in his seven purposes of ISKCON. In fact, in Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada mentions that ISKCON is an incarnation of the holy name. So, we have to be very conscious of that. Chanting of the holy name, japa, is the most predominant activity, most important activity, which we have to do. Everything else is just not to be engaged, so then we get the taste for chanting of the holy name. So, these are our activities. That's the function of the society. Now, until we get there, then Srila Prabhupada have these 7 points. And if you look at it, if you analyze them, in each of them, sometimes stress is more, sometimes less, but there are 3 points always mentioned. It's about education, there is about association, and about cooperation. So, these three activities Srila Prabhupada wants us to do. And sometimes you had seen like some quotes from Srila Prabhupada, no, if you want to please me, cooperate. Right? It's study my books, or read my books. It's very important. So we should not only depend on that we hear something and then we interpret it and we say, oh yeah, I heard your Prabhupada said this, but where is it written? Who said? I heard. No. Study what Acharya Srila Prabhupada said. Analyze. And most important, realize it. If you know what he said, and if you are not doing it, what's the use? Srila Prabhupada said that very important is Garbharana Samskara. We know that. So many times he mentioned that. If you don't do it, that what's the connection? Right? And why is Srila Prabhupada saying that? Why Garbharana Samskara? Why is it so important? Because it's about the beginning of new life. And if you begin the life properly, then you get the best chance to become pure devotee. So that was the parents, they have the responsibility. The teachers have the responsibility. But first comes with the parents. The Garbharana Samskara. And that's a direct instruction of our founder Acharya. And it's very amazing how that actually only very few devotees not having children follow this, and most of the devotees don't. It's very sad. Some don't have an idea. Why? Because they don't study Srila Prabhupada's books. But then it becomes difficult for us, because the children will not be in the best state of mind and consciousness to become devotees. So there will be a lot of disturbances. But we are responsible. We have to do something about it. Then, when the samskara, the garbhana samskara is properly done, then you can say that you did something for the child. If you do all the samskaras which are recommended, then you create a situation for the child that he will be able to focus on his studies, be determined, that he will be purified, so more in sattva guna. He will be desiring the association of sattvic people, and then by education, sadhu sangha. He will not be interested very much into nonsense. His body will be healthy. These are all what the samskaras are for. This is nothing else. It's not something esoteric. It's a scientific system. So then, if we say we love our children, then why wouldn't we do it for them? What kind of love then? No, it is. Here the acharyas are telling us this is the best for the children to do. You say, I love my children. But then the children must be planned, right? They cannot happen by accident, because then you cannot do it. So it has to be responsible. So we as a devotees have to become responsible. And as a parents, as a teachers, and as the society, we should make sure that we don't endeavor or don't let the Varna Sankara children come up. We should be very, very serious. How are we going to then propagate the movement if our children will be distracted, not able to study? They will be just glued to the Facebook, thinking that I have so many friends and I don't need anybody or anything else. It's very sad, but that's the trend, that's what's happening. And what are we doing about it as a society? In many cases we are just taking it, that's a modern thing, that's good, we should take it also. For what? Why? What's the benefit? So we should start educating ourselves. It's not painful. Just read Prabhupada's books. Study them. But as I was saying, that just knowing, it's not enough. You have to realize it. And realization is what? It's an application, practical application of the knowledge which you read and study, or somebody tells you, in your own life. Then when you do that, then you realize, wow, this is, oh, that's how it's applied. And then you realize, then you know. Then you can share it as a realization with others. But if you just know for the sake of knowing it, so you can preach, or you can learn Bhagavad Gita, know by heart, and you can know, say the verses and translations and maybe purports or whatever, so that you know it. But if you are not living it, if you are not living the standards of Bhagavad Gita, then ultimately who is going to listen to you? If you don't know Bhagavad Gita, but just you know the principle, then this is bhakti. Like there was the devotee in South India, right? When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, you know, traveling through South India, he comes to Srirangam. And in Srirangam there was one devotee and he was just holding the Bhagavad Gita and it was upside down and he was crying. And some people, you know, they were laughing at him. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached him and said, "Why are you crying?" And the people say, "Oh, because he doesn't know how to read, that's why he's crying." So why do you have the Bhagavad Gita if you don't know how to read? And he said, "My guru instructed me that I must read Bhagavad Gita. One chapter a day. But I don't know how to read. So I'm just holding it, looking at it, because I don't want to displease my guru. So I have to follow the order of my guru." And from the pictures in the Bhagavad Gita, then he said that it is so wonderful that Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he plays the part of a charioteer to his devotee. So he was so overwhelmed by it that he started to cry. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after hearing, he embraced him. And he said, "You truly understood the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. You are a true devotee." Illiterate, didn't know anything. What he did, only follow instruction of guru, as instructed, not with some, as he wants. And he was very attentive, he wanted to understand.
I will never be anything less than the Supreme Personality of God.
So he is confident, he knows, he is not afraid. Therefore he can do whatever he wants. And he does. And he loves his devotees. So then when he sees that some devotee wants to become Krishna conscious, that wants to serve in any capacity, minute capacity, doesn't matter, he will do anything to encourage that and to bring him up. When Ramachandra was building the bridge, Hanuman was carrying mountain peaks and not throwing them into the ocean to make the bridge. And he was laughing at the ants that, you know, the ants were carrying each like one grain of sand to do the same. And Ramachandra, he rebuked him. He said, everybody is helping according to their capacity. So the ants cannot carry peaks of mountains as you do. But their service is as pleasing to me as yours. We should never think that no, our service is important and nobody else's. So you have to take it very seriously. As a parent, your service is very important. And if you take it right, then your children will have a good chance to become devotees. It's not guaranteed. Bhakti Sriranda Sarasvati Prabhupada said, if I would know for sure that my children will be all Krishna conscious, I would have many of them. But who can guarantee this? Because everybody is individual. So the children, you can do whatever you want. You can give them as much as you want. But if they don't want to be Krishna conscious, they will not. So then he said, well, so therefore I'm not going to marry. I won't have children. And then he had many as a disciples. So if the needs are there, then we have to take it properly. If we need to get married because the desires are so, then do it properly. And if you do it properly, you do everything what you could. And if your children are Krishna conscious, then you will be happy, satisfied. If they are not, if they fall from Krishna consciousness and start now doing something else, then you know you did whatever you could. Therefore, what else can you do? Now there are adults, they do whatever they want. Okay, I had done my duty. I was responsible. It turned different way, what can I do? You will not be dissatisfied. You know that you did maximum. But the problem comes if you don't do your maximum and you know that. And the children don't turn Krishna conscious. Then very very likely you will be lamenting. Why I didn't do the Garbhadhara Samskara? Because of that then he becomes just a punk. If I would do that, then maybe he will be saved now. What can he do that time? Nothing. Just lament. Lamenting will not help. At that time, just whatever. You take it as it is. You probably just apologize to them. Tell them that it was out of your ignorance, that no, you did not give them the best. And just, submerge yourself into chanting of the holy name. There's nothing else really you can do. But if you are still in the beginning, you can do. If you are planning to have children and you did not do Garbhadhara Samskara, you can still do. But it's up to each individual how how serious we are in Krishna consciousness. But this is something by which we can help our children and then educate them, prepare them for the difficulties which may come, because material life is full of difficulties, and try to lead them to self-realization by your own example. Then you can say you did maximum and your conscience can be cleared. But if not, very likely you will be lamenting. I had seen many cases already. And it's sad. And because of the attachment, they cannot let go. And such parents, they actually torture themselves many times till the end of their lives. And if they do that to themselves, it's very difficult to become Krishna conscious, really. Lamentation, ignorance, it's not a good platform to practice Krishna consciousness. Everybody has a choice. No, we have to always make choices. Every moment. It's not just for us, we don't be there. Here is the scientific method of what we can do, how we can prove that we are taking devotional service seriously. And then there is a modern method which, no, it doesn't matter. Nowadays, the situation actually in the world, it's so serious that within last, I think, 5 years, then people are not willing to get married. Compared to 5 years ago, then it's a global situation, basically. Then there is like only half amount of people getting married. The rest is just living together because it's convenient, no obligations. So children just, they come, and if you don't want to, just, no, separate. You don't have to even divorce. Don't go through that, no difficulty. Just no obligations. Children are not anymore really like the element which glues the family together. So everything becomes very frivolous. No, and the situation, so it's going to be worse and worse. Now, this is the next generation coming. And what do they know about the world? They are just not glued to the being with friends, but they don't know anything about friendship. Nobody's not actually educating them. They don't know what actually relationship is. They don't see relationship between parents, husband and wife. So they don't know really what the mother father is. Many times they are not the center of attention, they are just a byproduct. And it's very, very nasty. But it's coming up. So these people will need Krishna consciousness. But it will be more difficult for them to accept it. Because the natural system of the parampara, the authorities, it's not really established there. So we should be exemplary. We should show this is the system, how it should be, how it works, and we know that. Then the world can learn from us. And then we can say, now we are preaching Krishna consciousness, the way Srila Prabhupada wanted us to. But being responsible. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here. Any questions? Yes. Take the mic.
How can we see our sincerity in sadhana bhakti?
How do you see the sincerity? Okay. Pranipata pariprasna sevaya. Right. So that's Krishna Bhagavad Gita, he clearly says. So then, surrender. That you be sincere. And in that mood, you inquire. And then, you perform service. Through the service, then naturally, then the questions, the inquiries will come. And when it's in the submissive mood, then you want to know something which is for your development. You will not have challenging questions. You will have no something to prove that you are better than him. You actually will be seriously interested about what you should do, how to elevate yourself. So with the submissive mood from one's guru, you can get the right answers, and following that as the seva, then you will come to the platform of pure devotional service. So those who are following the instructions of one's guru as they are, not as they want them to be, then he is sincere. Also, I think it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes that one's sincerity and one's advancement in devotional service is seen by his attachment to the holy name. So that's about devotees. So when somebody is into chanting japa, he's serious about it, he makes sure that in the morning he gets up, he chants the japa, then you see he is serious. Because this is the most important activity. It's given by Srila Prabhupada. When we get initiated, then this is the only instruction we get. Chant 16 rounds minimum. And there are four prohibitions. But the instruction is one. Chant the holy name. So those who take it seriously, you see, they are serious. And then naturally from that, other good qualities will develop. But the devotees who are not chanting regularly, they cannot be as serious. Once Srila Prabhupada was visiting some temple, I think in America somewhere, I don't know exactly where. And there was one devotee, and he was telling Srila Prabhupada, "Srila Prabhupada, I have so much service. I'm working from the morning till the evening. I sleep only 6 hours. But because I have so much of service, I don't have time to really chant japa. Is it all right?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "No." "So what should I do? No, how can I?" "So sleep less." No, he didn't say, "Okay, stop doing this service." "Okay, just sleep less." But he was pointing how serious it is that we chant our japa. The best is before Mangalarati, they can come, and the japa in the temple room, it's very, very serious. So just being there and chanting together, that also encourages us very much not to focus on the holy name. So we should be together chanting, sadhu sangha. But we should never compromise on that. that's very, so those whom you see that they are not compromising on this very principle, you can definitely say that they are serious. Everything else can get adjusted, but we have to chant the holy name. Because when you chant the holy name, and in the beginning you may chant the holy name because you are obliged to, or you are forced to. Maybe somebody, you know, in some temple, if you don't go for japa class, you don't get breakfast, so you have to chant, right? But that's the beginning stage. You keep doing it, you will develop taste, you will develop attachment for the holy name. It's just a question of time. And then after that, you don't have to, scared of that, oh, if I don't get up, then somebody will go to my case that I didn't chant my round. You will get up earlier because you want to. Like, Tukaram, I heard he was writing so many actually poems. And he just wanted to, not waste time. So sleeping is wasting of time. So he would be writing now all the time. And then how he did it also, like how he overcome sleeping. I mean, it's not the manual how we should do it also, but that's how Tukaram did it. He tied his shika, to some, I don't know, some hook or something. So when he will be falling asleep, then it pulls his shika. So he immediately wakes up. And I think it was like a few weeks or a few months, and after that, then he didn't need to sleep. So he was very sincere. He wanted to write because the poems were all about the Lord. So that was his japa. But so that's how you see sincerity. Attachments, one's attachment to the holy name. Yeah? Hare Krishna. Yes?
Hare Krishna. Sometimes devotee couples, they do not want to have child. So is it authorized if they don't want to have any child?
See, it's not the best, but no, it can be all right. There may be so many reasons why not. But generally, the child is something which, especially the mother, can get very much attached, and that can be very beneficial for her. So it is especially for the mothers important not to have children. But if for some reason there cannot be child, or if you cannot provide the facility, if you are sure that you will not be good father or something like that, it's better not to have the child. Or rather than just for, I want to have kid and I want to just, no matter what he does, or just I want to have kid, but I cannot provide for him, that's irresponsible.
So in such case, what is the use of getting married if I don't want to have child?
There's no use. The marriage happens just because of attachment, really. Because there is no need for it. But if the attachment is such that the person cannot get rid of it in the Brahmacharya ashram, then the marriage becomes a necessity. But if it's there, then having children, it's one of the things which grihasthas do. But if they cannot for some reason, then or they don't feel that they are maybe good parents, it's better not to have. Yeah? Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Take the mic.
How can we understand, like Chota Haridas, he just lustfully thought of that Mataji and he is rejected by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how can we understand our situation in regard to him, with regards to this situation? Is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejecting me, I would say, or accepting me, or what is happening? And second is that Prabhupada also said that Napoleon, he just slept for 1 or 2 hours. So now he was a materialistic and still he could manage, although he was doing so many things. So, but I see when you do physical services, you get so tired, you know, even the mental services. It said that actually mental services takes 9 times more energy than physical service. So all in all, I feel very tired at the end of the day, and like at least 6 hours, 7 hours, if I don't sleep, I don't feel. Although I'm inspired to sleep less, as Prabhupada said, if you cannot chant your rounds, then you sleep less than 6 hours. He didn't say you leave your service. So how can you encourage me to, you know, accommodate that idea of, you know, chanting at the same time, sleeping less, doing services?
See, all this happens basically by association. So you keep yourself in association of devotees who are doing so, who are chanting the rounds, you will naturally be inclined to do so. But if you now look for association of those who are more, relaxed, sometimes they chant, sometimes they don't, and now they do other activities, then you will be inclined to do that. Sadhu Sangha is very important. So your encouragement, most of the encouragement comes by the association. So choose your association properly, then you will be able to be encouraged. But you can only be encouraged if you actually want to be encouraged. It is to be your desire that now you have to want to do what you see the devotees are doing. Because if you don't want to, even association will not really help you fully. So then the desires are very important. Whether we have the desire to go back to Godhead, or we have the desire just anyway, and if I don't go in this lifetime, I can go some other one, no problem. Now I should enjoy. So if that's the mood, then the process will be slower for us. So then, as I said before, I mean, we are making the choice every moment of our life. Right? You make the choice to get up for Mangalarati or not. You make the choice to chant the rounds or not. You make the choice to do something useful or some nonsense. Every moment. And only you take responsibility for it, nobody else. You understand? So the best encouragement is the proper Sadhu Sangha for chanting of the holy name. Sadhu Sangha is the best. And regarding Chota Haridas, now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, okay, he lustfully looked, but that's because of his position as a leader, because he was actually a sannyasi. So as the leader, he did something inappropriate. But anybody can be a devotee just by chanting Hare Krishna. But we have to see that we fulfill that, take responsibly our position. If we get some higher position, we should be responsible to be good examples ourselves. So that's That's what it goes together. Yeah? Hare Krishna. Yes.
Except Garbhodana Samskara, for these other samskaras, when the child is already there, devotees are quite enthusiastic. But many times it turns into just social event full of gramya katha.
You see, the samskara is about the child, and it's for the child. Now, it's understood and it's encouraged that among the grihastha community, it becomes a social event. And it shouldn't be gramya katha, no, it should be encouraged to be Krishna katha, but it should be social event. It should happen. That many come together and then, you know, they are giving blessings to the child, they are discussing about their own children, they are discussing about Krishna and how it's happening, and no, that's all right, that's good, that's encouraged. So, but the samskara is about the child, it's for the child. So,
wouldn't it be just better to just sit and chant? Wouldn't it be just better to just sit and chant Hare Krishna? Because, I mean, you're living within devotees so many years also. And
yes.
You see that when devotees meet...
But you see, the problem is that, what does it mean? Now, Srila Prabhupada also said, kind of like, just, you know, chant 64 rounds and, you know, read Bhagavatam for a couple of hours before, you know, you are going to have child. But many devotees, they also do it that, no, okay, I chanted, I read, okay, now I had sex, and then what came out wasn't good kid. So it didn't work. So, whose fault is that? Of course, Krishna's. Because he didn't work properly. It's a nonsense. What is the samskara about? What is now the 64 rounds about? What is the chanting of or reading Bhagavatam about? It's about the change of the consciousness. Because the science is, what's the consciousness of the person during the samskara, then that consciousness will be also the child's consciousness. So if yes, if you are so pure and you can, just chanting the holy name, develop that consciousness, it's good. But majority of the people may not be able to do that. So there is a system, mechanics, by which then you do. But if there is, after the mechanics, if there is no change of consciousness, it's not very useful.
Then why would people not be able to change their consciousness just by chanting holy name? This is what Srila Prabhupada introduced as a main process.
Yes, yes, and but because the consciousness, because the chanting, it's so subtle that many people, also many devotees, from having quart, and also I know from my own experience, when we chant the Hare Krishna, do we actually chant the Hare Krishna? Or is it just mechanically chanting and then not focusing? Can we say that we always actually focus on chanting Hare Krishna? And if we cannot, if the mind is not focused on Hare Krishna when we chant Hare Krishna, we cannot say that we are fully Krishna conscious. So then if we are not, then the process of samskaras, which are some mantras, which is in front of fire, so we promised, so it makes us more obliged, makes it more formal, so the consciousness changes. Now, why did Srila Prabhupada bother with Diksha? Just, okay, take Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and then just go, you are initiated.
There is a thing that when during Diksha, there is a sadhu in the center.
There is?
Sadhu in the center.
Okay.
Guru is there, but many times on this...
But the Shiksha is the same thing. Who gives you the name? Sadhu. Guru gives you the name. But because in our sampradaya there are some who were initiated by shiksha only.
And that during diksha, that there is this formal procedure, there is fire,
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because but the sadhu is in the center of our attention. At least that was my impression from diksha.
But that's all that samskaras also. Why did Gopal Bhatta Goswami bother with writing Satkriya Saradipika? You explain to me. Because he didn't have anything to do? Or it's for karmis? Who is it for? What does he say about the book? Or he wasn't into chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra? What will you say?
Well,
some devotees are more attached. Those who are more attached, just chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra may not change their consciousness at the time. It's a process. As much as we are attached to material world, we cannot be attached to Krishna. Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur, he says that.
For example, regarding Satkriya Saranipika, all teaching of previous acharyas we should accept through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada. I was looking on his teaching and he didn't mention even once this book.
Well, he mentioned the samskaras. Who actually gave the book? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada? So what do you do? Then, okay, you say, oh, Prabhupada didn't give it to us, as he didn't give many books. But then, as a grihastha, what will you do? Just nothing, or just chant, and then, maybe you will be conscious. If you change your consciousness, then you are safe. But I know that many cannot do that. So the mechanical process, which is given by the acharyas, it's given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. It's mentioned, by Srila Prabhupada that we should follow the samskaras. So what's the problem? What is the problem actually?
The main process is chanting of the holy name.
Yeah. Yes.
But many times these occasions actually are not focused on that.
If you read Satkriya Saradipika, then yes, they are all focused on that. And why do we have Vivaha? It's also from Satkriya Saradipika. So why did you follow that? Vivaha, marriage, that's one of the main samskaras. Just chant the holy name. Come on. Just get together, chant the holy name. No. Then chant more, have sex, chant more, and then everything will be alright.
There are certain samskaras which are stressed by Srila Prabhupada.
How do you decide? How do you decide which ones?
By listening to Srila Prabhupada said.
Okay, so then Garbhana Samskara is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada many times. Other samskaras few times. Sorry?
Vahayagya is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada.
Many other, Simanto Nayanam. Then many samskaras, they are mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. In fact, they are called Dasha Samskara. There are 10 samskaras and they are mentioned by Srila Prabhupada. So, you have to follow what should be followed. And if you can, just by chanting of the holy name, get to the consciousness which you are supposed to, then okay, then do it. But then by propagating that to others who cannot get there, then you are not creating the situation very, very comfortable for them. That's what I would see.
This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed with Ramananda Rai, that this process by gradual development of consciousness,
yes,
he refused that.
It's your consciousness, but what do you do for your children?
Think? Same thing?
Same thing.
It's for me.
No, but for your child. By an acharya, right? You have explained why the samskara is good, what is it for? Then if I do this samskara, then it creates the better situation for my child. But I will not do it. Because I'm stubborn and I don't want to do it. So what if
it's not about stubbornness, it's about that you do, let's say, certain time should be some samskara, I don't know, first grain ceremony or whatever.
Yes.
And you do this just chanting and Bhagavad Katha and distributing prasadam to people. You don't do these external things, chanting mantras.
But what are like the external things?
What is the difference?
The mantras are all about holy name. The one given by the by Gopavada Goswami. I'm not talking about the mundane samskaras. I'm talking about the Vaishnava samskaras.
I understand it's given by Gopavada Goswami. It's given by Srila Prabhupada.
So, what it does, see, you are not understanding one main principle. The samskara is just so that the consciousness can get focused on the samskara. Okay? So the fire is there, so then you understand that it's a formal situation, and then that you can actually, you are obliged. The mantras are chanted, so then, the various devotees, and even the demigods, they can give blessings, to the child, so things happen, and the Supreme Lord, that's the main. So, and do you know how does Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada define the chanting of the holy name? He clearly says, the chanting of the holy name does not mean only chanting of the holy name. It also means discussing Krishna Katha, discussing Prabhupada, discussing books, reading books. So that's also chanting of the holy name. So maybe that definition can clarify this.
That's clear, but that doesn't explain these external rituals. That doesn't explain these external rituals like chanting under mantras and fire and like that.
If they are about the Lord, what is your problem?
Why so much stress on these external things?
Because we want the best for the children. And this is given by the Acharya that it should be given like that. Gopavada Goswami, he knew very well what are the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he still went and had written the book. Because he disobeyed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So why did he waste time? So then Vaishnavas don't follow. He wanted the Vaishnavas to follow, the Grihastha Vaishnavas to follow his book. Did you read the book? Did you read the introduction?
I read something, yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, and maybe one more thing that about education, about just how actually the samskaras and government samskara is especially important. Now, how we can help the children, how we can help ourselves to help the children. So then, we are publishing now one book. It's called The Defeating Vatsasura. It's based on an article from The Harmonist by Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada about the juvenile innocence. So how to bring up children, how to cope up with the possible challenges which the modern society offers, how to deal with the problems, younger, teenagers, know what to do, then, this book deals with. It's a small book, so it's not detailed yet, but I think it's very nicely outlined. So then, our school then is publishing it, so you can maybe have a look at it, and that may clarify more things. Yes. Okay, last one. Go. To the other end.
I'm sorry. Just one comment. We're all familiar with the concept of regulative principles. It's a fundamental part of our culture and advancement in Krishna consciousness. The other day I read Srila Prabhupada described the process of Gavadana Samskara as the regulative principles of sex life, which I had never seen it before, but actually it sort of woke up me up a little bit, mm-hmm. that sex life is not just something casual, that there is a regulative principle attached to it. And Prabhupada, he gave this name, the regulative principles of sex life, is like, it's very, you can't get around it, you know, it's just solid.
Yeah, thank you. It was very important. Hare Krishna. Yeah, Guru Antarachana Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Pramalanda.